You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game. It's right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Hour number two of the program. Bob Pompeiani and Joe Starkey just hit his tree wood out from under a tree. I saw the video he sent me. So he is playing golf, Austin, just so you know.
No surprise there, Bob.
He was stuck in between a tree, and somehow he finagled his body to get in there and hit his tree wood and got it back into play. So good for him. Fan Twitter is brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. The fan text line is brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless they get money for you. Right now, we're going to go out to the fan hotline, which is actually on audio. And there we see Nick Faribault from Penn Live. How are you today, Nick?
I'm doing well, Pomp. Thanks for having me on. It's a good Tuesday.
It is a good Tuesday. So, Austin will be part of this conversation, as always. We have a lot to talk about with regard to the Steelers. And I guess the hot topic is T.J. Watt. Have you learned anything new about this? Because it seems like there's all silence from the T.J. Watt end. The last time we've seen anything from him is that peace sign that he delivered, and that's been it. Congrats on him and his wife. They had a new baby, so that's, I'm sure, taking up a lot of his time. But when do you see this thing coming to a head here with the Steelers and T.J. Watt?
Yeah, I mean, everything I've heard is this thing's going to be a long, drawn-out battle. I mean, could it happen in the next few weeks? Sure. I know, Pomp, that there's some members of the Steelers front office that are having their own vacations in early July before training camp. So how much communication do you really have when all your guys are necessarily not in the building? I mean, it's going to be a thing that they want to get done before training camp. But I think it's going to be tough. And they are, I think, very close on average per year. From what I've heard, the raw money, right? It's 40 per year, 41 per year. That's not the issue here. It's guaranteed money really into the third year of the contract. And how long is this contract? I think TJ wants this contract to be longer than maybe the Steelers want it to be. I mean, he's going to be 31 this year in October. And getting money into that third year, that's what Myles Garrett was able to achieve when he got his mega deal from the Browns. But Watt, when he's going to want to reset the market, he's going to want to reset not only over that $40 million per year, but probably equalize the structure of the guaranteed money. And I think that for the Steelers, with how he performed down the stretch last year, that's just a lot of risk that they would take on doing that when he would be 34 years old. And so I don't necessarily think that one is going to be easy to compromise on for both these for both the sides, because I think they both want that, right? Steelers don't want it. TJ really wants it. So it's going to take a while. Wouldn't surprise me if this happens like last time where it took 2 days, I think, before the season started, where they ended up actually signing him.
Yeah, but the difference back then, too, you'll recall, is that he was there for that mini camp and he didn't do much, and then he was in the hold-in situation. Do you ever think it can get to be a hold-out situation that TJ Watt wouldn't even show up?
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if that's the case. Listen, I think Watt is happy how this has gone about, right? He kind of feels like the last priority for the Steelers in some ways because they've made so many moves, right? DK Metcalf, Jalen Ramsey, all these different things have happened, and he's been the guy that's been here and hasn't had his money yet. He hasn't been fed yet, essentially, from what they've done. And so I think that's part of it. But I think a big part of this with TJ is you have to send a message about how serious you are. And for him, you know, having that security into your age 34 season, that's big. This is TJ's last big payday, right? I mean, how long is he really going to play for? I mean, he might get one more contract after this one, but unlikely, more likely than not, that this is the last NFL contract. So that is significant. And so getting that security late into your career, Cam Hayward wasn't able to get this pomp. You know, like Cam had a great year last year, but he's basically playing on a year-to-year deal and could be cut at any time if the Steelers looked at it. TJ Watt doesn't want that type of contract. He wants the contract that says, I want to be in Pittsburgh for the rest of my career, so I know I don't have to move anywhere, right? And so I think that's a big part of it too. So could a holdout happen? Sure. I think the fact that they are closer on raw money than they were – this is the big difference between now and minicamp is the Steelers have come up on the raw money aspect. From what I believe right now, the offer on the table would make him the highest non-paid quarterback in football. So I do think he will exceed Myles Garrett's number eventually when he gets this deal. Or maybe the Steelers lower that money and he gets his guaranteed year. There's going to be trade-offs potentially, but I do think from what I know right now, that money exceeds Garrett's. And so I do think he's likelier to probably show up and hold in right now, but would it stun me if he held out? It wouldn't.
So, Nick, there is no chance that the Steelers will entertain any trade offers for TJ Watt. I know you put something out there, somebody you talked to that basically said, like, hell no, there's not a possibility. Yes. Do you think that's still the case?
I mean, that's all I've heard. I've heard that that is not even a discussion at South Water Street. They haven't really even talked about trading TJ Watt. And kind of what the buzz is when you talk to people around the league of what would TJ Watt get, there's not a lot of people that say first round pick, right? If you trade your top edge rusher like that, your top pass rusher, you would hope so. But he's for all the reasons the Steelers are skeptical of giving him the third year guaranteed, a lot of teams are going to be skeptical about doing that too. And so you might get a second and a fifth or something like that rather than a first round pick. And there's just been no discussions at all within the Steelers organization about trading him. The focus is all on extending him. So maybe something changes later if this somehow gets even uglier. But for right now, there's really nothing there that points to a TJ Watt trade.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you and a lot of people who think that he will get what he needs. My question would be, do you think the Steelers, and I know what their policies are about not negotiating until you get to the final year, but do you think they probably would have liked to have taken a mulligan on this and look back last year and said, with 2 years out, we could extend him and before all these other guys get money? I don't know that they expected Myles Garrett to get what he got, but once Max Crosby did, the market continues to change. Do you think they have reservations about not dealing with him earlier in this process?
I do. I think they would have liked to have gotten this done early. Listen, Garrett was kind of looked like he was going to leave Cleveland, right?
I mean, that he put out a full page ad. Right? Can you imagine TJ doing that as a strategy?
Right. I mean, Garrett went fully public, requested a trade out of Cleveland, and then all of a sudden, a few weeks later, he gets a mega deal that essentially gives him lots of control in the franchise and makes him the face of the franchise. That blew this market open. That's the big thing. I mean, he blew out Max Crosby's deal. Crosby got 35 and a half per year. If that was the number right now, Pomp, I think TJ is under contract.
I agree.
I really do. I don't think that would have been an issue for them. But the fact of the matter isn't only that he got that much money. The guaranteed structure is completely ridiculous. I mean, Myles Garrett's ending his career as a Cleveland Brown, almost guaranteed, just off $88 million guaranteed of that mega deal. So Watt now is going to look at that deal, and Parsons is going to look at that deal, and Hendrickson and all these top edge rushers, and they're going to want that same guaranteed structure. And I think that's put up a lot of fight within, say, the Bengals organization. Why hasn't Dallas signed Micah Parsons yet? Probably because of some of this going on right now. And I think the Steelers are in the same boat with Watt. So if they could go back in time and get this done before Myles Garrett was signed, I think everything would change. Not, if they did it last year, I mean, Watt would have gotten like 33 per year.
Yeah.
It would have been a way different story.
Who do you think's holding up the deal right now, Nick? The Steelers or Watt? Because I think it would be in the Steelers' best interest to sign him now before Parsons breaks the bank and before Hendrickson breaks the bank. But Watt probably thinks, you know what? I have some leverage here. Why not let Jerry overpay for Micah Parsons first?
I think the Steelers, I mean, Watt's probably holding up the deal just because he's holding out for that guaranteed kind of money, right? So I guess he was, but the Steelers aren't offering it. So the Steelers have bumped up their raw money offer. I think that's become clear. The Steelers are putting up together a pretty competitive offer. And while they're far apart on the guaranteed money, Watt really wants that to be a part of that. And I think that matters more for a guy that's at his age. I mean, TJ Watt wants that guaranteed money because it brings security. That is something that all old vets love in the NFL, is they want something that says, I'm going to be here. Especially when you're TJ, you know, you're a guy that's been with the Steelers, shown loyalty to the Steelers, and there's all these different things that he kind of looks at and says, I want to be a one-helmet guy. He feels like he should be treated like that. And so the Steelers waited out Cam Hayward last year. I mean, they did. Cam Hayward eventually caved in and signed their contract offer. The Steelers, I think, are going to try and wait out Watt too. But I do think the Steelers not offering that guaranteed year, the other guaranteed money, is what's holding this up. So that's the big sticking point here. And I don't think the contract is as long as Watt wants either. I think it's probably a year shorter than he probably wanted to.
Yeah. And Nick, I think this is going to be, as I said before, a little bit different than the last time. And knowing that it's Watt's final contract, knowing that he wants what he wants, and the Steelers are kind of pegged themselves into a situation now where they made all these deals. They brought in Aaron Rodgers. They traded for DK Metcalf. They brought in Jalen Ramsey. They're trying to salvage something out of 2025. But without TJ Watt, I don't know if that all matters. You know, so they know that I think he has leverage in this situation. Realistically, though, how much leverage do they have, and how do they play that leverage if this thing does get, as you said earlier, uglier?
Yeah, I mean, the leverage they have right now is that, and TJ's leverage is, I'm going to play, not play games, right?
Right.
I'm going to hold out and stay out of the season. And that's the Steelers' leverage, too, is like, no, you're not, right? Like, you're not going to sit out, because even if TJ Watt decides to sit games out, he's going to play, right? He has to play, I think, 8 or 9 games to accrue a season to then hit free agency. I think the Steelers' leverage would be, well, if you want to do that, we'll just tag you next year. Like, that's the Steelers' leverage, right? We'll just hit the franchise tag with you. Now, I don't think the Steelers want to do that, obviously. And TJ's a franchise legend. The Steelers don't want a public kind of relations crisis on that end. But that is the Steelers' leverage, is, hey, we can control, like, you for the next 2 years, realistically. And then when you're 33 and you want to hit free agency again, and who knows what you are at that point, you might only be half the player, and you might not get anywhere near what you're getting right now from us, right? And so that's the Steelers' offer and kind of their leverage. And so the Steelers can play dirty like that if this gets ugly. And I think that's how they play it, is, hey, we're going to – I think what they're going to say is, hey, we're willing to make you the highest non-paid quarterback in football right now. Just sign the contract. You're 30 – you're going to be 31. Edge rushers don't age gracefully, especially speed rushers like Watt, who's dealt with some injuries over the years. And so we're giving you guaranteed bag of cash that carries you into your mid-30s. I think that's their leverage, because who knows how Watt's game ages. I mean, that is the golden question of this entire process.
And we've seen that over the years where, you know, there have been injuries at the end of the season, and the production down the stretch last year was not there. So that's a big part of it also.
Talking to Nick Faribault of Penn Live. But, Nick, is that the right decision? Like, $40 million? I mean, are they making the right choice? I don't think they are. Like, I want to see them get it done.
Well, if they were going to get a second and a fifth-round pick, I don't know if I'm a surprise to hear that, but I guess that's how it is right now, right? The second and fifth-round pick, I would rather have him here, give him the money. They'll figure out a way to offset that as they move forward, because Omar Khan is good about doing stuff like that. So, and they have money to spend based on next year, don't they? They have some guys coming off the books next year that they could still handle this. Nick?
Yeah, they do. I mean, listen, they have so much cap space in the future that it's not really a big issue to pay him, because they're not paying a quarterback. I mean, that's the big thing, right, is you can afford to pay other large salaries when you aren't paying quarterbacks. And obviously, they aren't going to be paying a quarterback. We all think they're going to go get their quarterback next year in the draft. So that will be a rookie deal. And so it's an interesting question if they're doing the right thing. I actually think they are. And that's maybe something that a lot of people aren't expressing right now, but I don't think he'd get as much as people think he would on the open market. As I said, from what I've heard, I don't necessarily think they'd get a first-round pick. Here's how I'd put it, and I think Tom Pelissero made this point. Trey Hendrickson was the NFL sack leader last year, and the Bengals legitimately dangled him on the trade market and didn't get a first-round pick ever put on the table for him. Watt's probably not going to get it either. And so that's the big thing for me is – if you're not going to get realistically good trade compensation, I mean, maybe you can look out there and flip him for another elite player. I guess that's maybe a route like the Steelers do with Ramsey and Smith or Fitzpatrick. I mean, I guess that's a route you could go. But there's no receiver out there right now. Terry McLaurin is a pipe dream. I don't think that's a realistic
I agree with you.
At all. That's what people will point to.
They need him down there, right? They got a young quarterback. Why would you do that?
Yeah, they're not moving him with Daniels there.
Right. Even that contract situation's ugly. And that's not a good contract situation. You just expect that to get done because he's their top target. So there's no one like that you look at and say, oh, trading TJ Watt is worth it right now for. And so I think extending him is fine if you can have as a team some way to mitigate the risk. Giving him that guaranteed money to year three means TJ Watt better be really good into his age 34 season. And he's a speed rusher. And Pomp, as you and I know, explosiveness, speed, other athletic-based traits, they diminish the older you get. So TJ's going to have to reinvent his game too. So there's definitely risk. But given where the Steelers are and how much they want to win and how much they want to surround this culture future with their rookie quarterback next year, more than likely, I do think actually signing Watt is probably better, considering I don't think the trade offers are going to be as exorbitant as people think it will be.
Omar Khan gets a 3-year extension, Nick, day before the 4th of July fireworks go off. He's definitely been someone that has brought the boom with a lot of the decisions that he's made and the fireworks going off all offseason as the Steelers, all eyes have been on them. How would you assess, though, Khan's tenure since he's taken over for Kevin Colbert? Did he deserve the extension?
It's pretty incomplete. I mean, we can't even really evaluate his first two draft classes that well. I mean, we don't actually know if Broderick Jones is going to be a good player or not yet. How good is Joey Porter Jr. and Keanu Benton? Like, it's tough. The Steelers kind of backed themselves into an odd corner by hiring him after the 2022 draft and only having the extension go through the 2026 draft. So it kind of had to happen. I think it's been very mixed. I think there's been some good things. As I said, I think the early draft classes look promising. There's good starters in there. I think he's made some really good moves on the margins. You know, you think about Deshaun Elliott, for example. He's completely overhauled how they work. He's a guy that will make any move happen that he thinks is going to help the team. DK Metcalf, Rodgers waiting out for him, looking at what they did to get Jalen Ramsey. So they take big swings now, but there's also plenty of misses on that. You look at some of the free agency moves they've made. For example, the cornerback handling before the Peterson deal, I mean, signing Patrick Peterson, trading for Dante Jackson, the Brandon Ayuk saga last year. There's a few things that you can point to that I think would also say it's been a mixed bag. And so I grade him like a B-, C-plus type. But the Steelers put themselves in a really odd spot with the timeline they kind of gave him. And there's not a lot, I think, to say he doesn't deserve the extension. But I also think there's not an overwhelming amount to say he does. And so the weird timeline has kind of made his tenure inconclusive so far. And so extending him, I guess, made sense.
Yeah, and quite frankly, the biggest test for him is next year. What he does, what they do, and I always say they, because I think it is a they situation over. I think Mike Tomlin carries a lot of weight in what decisions are made, and next year will be big. But I want to ask you about two of the guys they brought in here, because these are not your normal players who you would expect to be at one position. I'm talking about Jalen Ramsey and also Jonnu Smith, more specifically him, Nick, because they need a second wide receiver. He fits that image because of what he did last year, and he's very good at running away from people as a big guy over the middle. He can outrace linebackers and safety guys. Where do you see those two guys? Are they sort of hybrid in the sense that they'll be moving around a lot on both sides of the ball?
Yeah, I mean, Ramsey absolutely is. He's going to play outside. He's going to play slot corner. He'll play in dime backer. He'll play a little safety. He'll kind of play wherever you need him, right? You need him to cover tight ends. You need him to be an eraser of the number one receiver. He can do all of that. And so he's going to play the star position he did in Los Angeles, which is just basically meaning go take out the most dangerous guy. Go be a Swiss Army knife in sub packages. And the Steelers are probably going to play a lot more nickel this year so they can have him, Slay, and Porter all on the field together. So Ramsey just opens up a lot of what they can do. He's a big guy, too. He's like 6'1", 220, so he can blitz. That's a nice help for them. They can do a lot of different things. He's so smart. He's a ball magnet. There's a lot of really good things to like about Jalen Ramsey's game. As versatile as Micah Fitzpatrick was, Jalen Ramsey somehow is more versatile. I mean, that's kind of what they got here. They kind of got a supercharged chess piece here. So he's someone that absolutely kind of goes in there. I think Jonnu, I don't think Jonnu is a requisite fix for wide receiver two. I think he's a different weapon entirely, Bob. Like, I think he is a really good weapon that they kind of needed. Like, they needed someone that could just catch a flat 2 yards and take it for 20, right? They need someone that can create those yak yards and elevate the screen game, and Jonnu can do that. He's a guy that just gets to the flat, catches it, and turns it into something. That's kind of what he is. He can split out. He can be a really good receiver, and you know, spread formations, empty, shotgun. Aaron Rodgers is going to love Jonnu Smith. I have no question about it. He is the perfect type of fit for a guy like Aaron Rodgers, but he's not their wide receiver too. And I do think he can be their no two option, but I do think they need another wide receiver because defenses are going to react to Jonnu in different ways than they're going to react to a wide receiver. So, you know, they need a blocking wide receiver. I think someone that can really block but stretch the field. And so I think Gabe Davis actually makes a lot of sense for them now as the wide receiver two, who maybe gets a less of a snap share than they did last year because the Steelers are going to play so much two and three tight end this year with the guys they got in that room. But I think if you could take some pressure off Jonnu on the blocking side, I think that's where you really unleash him.
Does Amari Cooper pique your interest at all?
I mean,
You've been on that bandwagon for a while, Amari Cooper bandwagon.
Him or Keenan Allen, but it seems like I heard Pony and Miller say the other day that Keenan Allen on a podcast or whatever said that he's not going to play for the Steelers. So that one's out the window. Amari Cooper had such a bad case of the drops in Dallas, and it continued in Cleveland. Like, there are a lot of gaffes in his game, I think. But right now, he might be the best possible option, Nick, as much as I really don't like him that much. But, I mean, that's why I got to push for it.
I mean, I guess, yeah, he's kind of that upside option. I mean, Keenan Allen, I mean, just turn on a few tapes or highlights. The guy looks like he's running with cement shoes on. Like, I don't know how he got 800 yards last year. It's pretty impressive, actually, that he did. But I think that's going to keep dropping. Like, it looks like his game is kind of on the cliff. Amari Cooper, I mean, he was getting outsnapped by Matt Collins last year in the playoffs. I don't love that. Gabe Davis, I think, though, and I keep going back to this, Austin, I actually think Gabe Davis is their best option. I really do. And when I think about why, I think when they go into 11 personnel, which is their three wide receiver sets, or their 12 personnel, their two tight end sets, I think they need a guy that can really block well at wide receiver. Now, DK can do that, and so that's nice. But they don't really have a second guy. I mean, they do in Robert Woods, but it'd be nice to have a guy that's more of a threat down the field. Because Jonnu and Freiermuth, you're going to want to play those two together, but that's not an elite blocking duo. I mean, Jonnu is not good at that. And Pat, I think, had his best year, so let's see if he can take another step there. But he's not a plus blocker yet at tight end. You can use that extra guy at wide receiver to kind of take some pressure off them so teams still react to 12 personnel like how they should react to 12 personnel. You don't want that extra safety on the field, because if you have that extra safety on the field, it erases Jonnu's kind of ability to dictate personnel. And so I think the way Gabe Davis actually plays football fits the team better. I think the best pure talent and upside is probably Cooper. But I think for fit right now, I actually like Gabe Davis the best.
So you don't think that Davis is just a Josh Allen creation of what he was in Buffalo after really not doing anything in Jacksonville, was banged up?
I mean, I think he was large part of Josh Allen creation. But can he be someone that gets you 500, 600 yards and blocks his behind off? I think so. And I think that's actually good for the Steelers as a wide receiver two option this year, just as an outside receiver, as long as he can stay healthy. So I do think, you know, he's not going to put up 800, 900 yards like he maybe did with Allen that 1 year. But can he be at least a solid option for you and someone that has a high floor? I think he can. And that's, I think, what they actually need to look for. I think instead of looking for one body right now, given who's on the market that can be your sole wide receiver too, they need to look at guys that can have different skill sets and cobble it together. So Gabe Davis plus Calvin Austin plus Roman Wilson, all bringing it together and kind of creating a wide receiver two requisite while your number two and three options are actually a tight end in Freiermuth and Smith.
Oh, Nick Faribault's been with us, and you're going to stay with us, right? All the way until the top of the hour?
Yep.
All right. We appreciate that, Nick. And we'll get into those two guys you just mentioned, Calvin Austin and Roman Wilson, and maybe the Steelers' reluctance at this point to go out and get somebody else because they feel pretty good about those two. We'll talk about that and more.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Why are more women than ever choosing Natural Cycles? The hormone-free, side-effect-free way to take control of your fertility. Natural Cycles is a birth control app that uses your temperature to find your fertile window. It is more than a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
Rolling along, Pomp and Joe without Joe. He's on a golf course somewhere on vacation this week. Then I'll be on vacation next week. So, Austin, you're going to have a principal role in this broadcast, as you always do. But right now we're joined by Nick Fireball from Penn Live. He does a great job covering the Pittsburgh Steelers. You can check him out online with all his latest information. And we've talked a lot about T.J. Watt, Nick. We've talked a lot about some of these other guys. And one guy I'd like to get your take on and what you expect is Aaron Rodgers, their quarterback. This was something at the very beginning didn't look like it would happen after they made an offer to Justin Fields, who I preferred being here because I wanted to see what they can extract from his game in the passing department, excuse me, a year later. But they didn't do that, or at least they didn't offer him enough money. So this became the name they were after. It took a while, but they got it done. Were you pro Rodgers before this move? And what are your expectations now that they made the move to put him as their quarterback?
Yeah, I mean, I think I would have preferred to see Fields, not because he's better. I actually think Rodgers is better than Fields and Wilson, to be quite honest with you, when you watch him on tape. But I did like the idea of at least trying that dart throw upside game. Like, who knows, maybe this year New York finds their own version of Baker Mayfield and Justin Fields, and then you don't even have to draft a quarterback, right? I mean, that's kind of what I think the attractive thing about Justin Fields was, is maybe he could find that next gear in his career, like some of these guys have later, him, Geno Smith. Mayfield's obviously done that. So it's been a thing. Darnold last year. So maybe Fields could have been that guy this year. I thought that was the appealing thing about that. But I do actually think this is going to be an upgrade compared to what they had last year. I think you look at Rodgers, the arm is still there. Obviously, the mobility isn't great. He's still coming off that Achilles injury. He looked more mobile than I thought he actually was at minicamp. Like, he moved around a little better than I thought he would, but he's not going to be scrambling or anything like he was in his heyday. And the arm is good. I mean, he could still throw the ball deep. He could still throw with plenty of velocity into tight windows. He's got incredible what I call arm arrogance, Bob, which means he thinks he can make any throw on the field whenever from anywhere. And he does still do it. And he can do it still. It's pretty impressive. Obviously, above the neck, still a very smart player. It's going to all come down, actually, Bob, to the offensive line, though. Hits feel different when you're 41 going to be 42. So Rodgers last year behind a bad Jets O-line that was hurt and battered took a lot of quick game and just dumping it off and screens and quick slants, and teams baited that throughout the year. and he didn't get to really air it out much. And so if the Steelers O-line can hold up, he'll be able to do a more diverse skill set this year in Pittsburgh. So I do think that they can get, you know, somewhere around the 15th, 14th best quarterback in the NFL here from Aaron Rodgers, even if he's not the four-time MVP. I still think they can get good play out of him.
So you said, what, 13th, 14th best quarterback for Rodgers. What do you think the outlook would put the Steelers at if Rodgers plays at that type of level?
Yeah, I mean, I think the outlook is for them, hopefully, because I would imagine if he plays at that level, you would hope the O-line is solid, right? I think that actually, like, people aren't talking about this enough. I think the offensive line's the key to this team's success. I really do. If this offensive line's better, I think then they could be better than last year. They could be 11-6, 12-5, maybe even. But I think that's a little rosy. I still think even if Rodgers gives you kind of that 13th best, I think probably 11-6 the ceiling. I think 10-7 still feels very likely to me. I don't think that their moves this year, while I think they're a better team, I don't think they're so much better that it changes a lot of what I thought about them. Granted, I thought last year some of those wins they got lucky in. I do think they got a little bit lucky in some of those wins last year. But I do think this year they're going to have a more sustained version of that, I guess. Like it's easy. It's more going to be more easily replicable. And that means you have a better shot for a playoff win. That's kind of my view. If Rodgers gives you 13th best, 14th best quarterback in the NFL, it allows you to have more sustained peaks offensively, and that makes you a more serious team when it comes to playoff time.
Yeah, I think, you know, what you said is true. He still can zing the ball around. I also wonder about, you know, what it's going to be like with Arthur Smith and Aaron Rodgers in the same room trying to figure out game plans. And I would imagine that Arthur Smith has to defer to him in many ways and say, what do you want? Because I know last year that didn't seem to be the case, even with an experienced quarterback like Russell Wilson. So how much give and take do you think will happen in that department when those two guys get together? And Mike Tomlin obviously has a say in that as well. How do you think that'll go? Do you think they defer to his four-time player of the year resume and, you know, just say, we're going to do what makes you happy. We're going to have our own thoughts here too, but what do you want to put in this system and how do we best utilize that?
Absolutely. I do think so. And the reason is you kind of have to with Aaron Rodgers. It's been one of his things. He's been a guy that likes to hot route things, change stems, change protections. He's been known to change plays. I mean, that's been a thing. I mean, he should have the same amount of kind of influence before the snap that Big Ben did in his final years to me. I think that makes a lot of sense to have it. I mean, Russ probably should have had the more than he had last year. I mean, Russ was a guy that used his mind a lot, and that was a big thing about Russ that I think maybe they didn't embrace enough. I knew that he and Arthur Smith didn't necessarily have great synergy, but I do think that should have been something. I hope that's something that maybe Arthur Smith learned last year is with your veteran quarterbacks like this. Rodgers is just even a different level than Russell Wilson, though. I mean, Rodgers is on a different plane. And so, yes, you should give him autonomy. You should allow him to call routes, to call plays, to talk about what he wants. You still have the basic tenets, I think, of Arthur Smith's system. You're still going to want motion and under center play action and things like that. But are you going to see more shotgun and more empty and quick game and things like that? I think so. And here's something I don't think people realize, Pomp, but it's interesting, is Arthur Smith, before he became the offensive coordinator in Tennessee, coached under Matt LaFleur, who was Aaron Rodgers' coach in Green Bay for 4 years. And they run a very similar offense. If I were Arthur Smith, I'd call up LaFleur and say, well, how'd you work it out with Aaron Rodgers? How much freedom did he get there? And that very realistically became something that LaFleur and Rodgers kind of learned about each other throughout 4 years. And by the end of it, very much so, that was something that Rodgers had very much like full freedom of in that offense. And so I think if you can run a similar offense like that where he has freedom, I think he'd feel very at home. And there's way more ties, I think, with Smith and Rodgers than people probably realize on the surface.
But can we get to a point, Nick, where Russell Wilson and Arthur Smith are staying on South Water Street and FaceTiming their wives to make sure that they're not out partying on the South Side to basically change, I guess, the narrative of whatever their relationship is? Like, how do Arthur Smith and Aaron Rodgers sustain a relationship where they're on the same page, or does it all come down to winning?
I mean, part of it's absolutely winning. Winning cures ills. Winning cures all, I think, to a degree. And so that's a big part of it. I do think Russ's play last year and being so outside the confines of a Smith offense, I mean, we are talking about a guy in Russell Wilson that historically targets the middle of the field the least in the NFL. He just does it. That's Arthur Smith's bread and butter. He doesn't turn his back and run a ton of play action, so the Steelers had to kind of kneecap that part of the offense, run bootlegs, and run fades down the sideline. I think that was part of it, is that Wilson is just such a non-fit in Arthur Smith's traditional scheme. And while Aaron Rodgers is also someone that doesn't throw the ball over the middle of the field as much as the league average, he does it so much more than Fields and Wilson did. I mean, you look historically, it's not even close. Rodgers does it about 9 percentage points more historically during his years with LaFleur. So that's going to be something. There's just more natural ground. And so I think having that kind of there for Arthur Smith, to where he doesn't have to completely just throw apart and take a machete to his scheme, is going to be part of what allows us to work. But communication, and you have to give more than you take with Rodgers. It really is something you do. I mean, he has that influence. That is something that you have to take with Rodgers. You signed up for this. You know what he is, right? We know what Rodgers does. We know the influence he has. And so if they try to fight back towards that a little too much, this will get rocky. But I hope that they learned their lesson last year, because Russell Wilson wanted more, and they didn't give it to him. And I do think that was a lesson to learn from last year.
You mentioned Gabe Davis earlier as somebody you'd like to see in here. If he doesn't come, and if they don't add on, and I agree with you, I think they will eventually.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Escape the heat to True North Convenience Stores and get any size True Oasis Fountain Drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi Fountain Drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Fun fact, you can't get pregnant every day. You're only fertile for 6 days, ovulation day and the 5 days leading up to it. Natural Cycles is the only birth control app that can pinpoint your fertile window by analyzing your hormone-driven temperature trends. It's more than just a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
How much does that say about their advancement of the games of, Calvin Austin and what they've seen, at least, and what you've seen so far from Roman Wilson? We didn't see him at all last year, so we don't really know, other than he looks differently. How much different do you see in Roman Wilson so far through all the camps?
He finally looks really healthy, Pomp. I think that's the good thing, is that, he's a little bigger. He's not so much bigger that it's like a completely different person.
Like Jaylen Warren. Jaylen Warren looks like a different person.
Jaylen Warren somehow gets bigger every season. I don't know how he does. I guess it's running the mountains in Utah.
Or the waves of Maui. He's everywhere.
Yeah, he's running in sand in Maui. Yeah. He's pulling soccer nets on fields. Like, he's doing everything. Jaylen Warren's an absolute terror in terms of working. Unbelievable work ethic there. And Roman Wilson is a little bulkier. I think that's good. He looks really explosive pump. I've always said his superpower is just how explosive he is instantly. I mean, it takes him 2 steps to get the full speed and acceleration. Mm-hmm. So if you don't get your hands on him, he can run right by you. And I think that's the fun thing about him is when you look at his ability to run those over routes and get to the middle of the field and stretch the field horizontally. He's not as much a vertical field stretcher as he's a horizontal field stretcher. He can do that because he can fly. He's got instant acceleration. And he's a willing guy. I mean, he's tough. This kid is willing to get his nose on the fan and block despite being undersized mm-hmm. for that spot. So there's good things to like about Roman Wilson. I don't think you necessarily throw him in there and say he's going to be your wide receiver too, but can he be a significant part of your chain moving operation? I think that's part of it. He'll be a guy that on 3rd and 7, you can throw the ball on an over route to and hope he brings it down. I think that's something that they have there. And then Calvin Austin, I mean, he's kind of what he is. I think he's a solid vertical field stretcher, an underrated route runner, probably not going to get more than 700 yards in a season. But I do think he's a high floor type of player. So I think they have confidence in those guys. But I'll say this, Pomp, you mentioned that you think they're going to add someone. I do, too. Mm-hmm. I think it would be malpractice not to add somebody here. They need another big body in this room. It can't just be Robert Woods. Like if DK Metcalf gets hurt, Robert Woods cannot be your X receiver. It just can't happen. So you need someone else in that room.
If everything crumbles down, Nick, this season, and let's say that they go 8-9 or 7-10, do you think that puts additional heat on Mike Tomlin where Art Rooney might ultimately decide to at least think about a move?
I mean, I don't think they're going to move on from Mike T at all after this year, but can he start thinking about what they would do with his contract coming up? Certainly. I think that's part of it. Because they've gone so all – if they're not all in this year, they're very close to it. I know that they have that eye towards next year, but they've clearly designed this year to be the year they break the playoff drought. I think that's been something. There's an urgency to this team this year. And going, saying 5-12 and having the bottom fall out from you, so something went seriously wrong here. And whether that was with the development of your players, with the signings and vision of the fit of these pieces together, that's a management and coaching staff thing. And so I think at that point, you think about Art Rooney saying, okay, is it maybe time? But, I mean, his contract runs through 2027. I just have a hard time seeing that. That would be, I think, the first time they would even think about moving on. But I think with Omar's extension, I mean, they're not even close to the hot seat right now. So it's going to take some catastrophic falling apart like that to even consider that seed, I think, in Rooney's head.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And maybe it takes Mike himself deciding it's time. You know, it may not come from Art Rooney. It may not come from anyone but him if that ends up happening. But they've cemented these two guys together. There's a lot of loyalty and trust among them with the owner. So I think that's how this is going to go. But that streak we mentioned with Mike Tomlin regular season, though, Nick, is out there, and it's a good one, but also attached to it is another streak that has to end, and that's playoff wins. They haven't had one since 2016. I think more than anything else this year, that has to be checked off the box, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's something to me that they need to start getting a winning culture established, right? They need to start having the next generation of Pittsburgh Steelers like Zach Frazier and Joey Porter Jr. and Derek Harmon. They need to have those guys have a taste of playoff success to know what it takes to win playoff games. And you hope having guys like Ramsey and Slay and Rodgers and Hayward and all those guys are going to be able to instill that in them. And a playoff win or 2 playoff wins is at least kind of showing those guys what it takes to get there in the NFL. Having those vets is big, I think, in the NFL. I really do believe in veteran mentors and veteran players showing teams what to do. All of those really good young teams generally have 1 or 2 or 3 vet guys that show them how to get there before they end up learning on their own. And so, yes, I think for the Steelers, that is such a huge thing for them is they need to break this drought. I mean, this is the Pittsburgh Steelers. This isn't the, you know, this isn't a franchise like the Jacksonville Jaguars, right? Where you're happy just making the playoffs. The Steelers have made the playoffs a lot, but you got to win games and at least make it competitive. I mean, that's the other thing, Bob, is like, these games haven't even been competitive. They've just been run off the field. And so,
yeah, by the first quarter, the game's over.
Right. I mean, Baltimore, their rivals, ran for 300 yards on them, 299 to be exact. With Neil Downs, they would have been over 300 yards on them in that postseason game. When you get your teeth kicked in by your biggest rival, I think it does something to a team. It does something to a head coach like Mike Tomlin where you say, we can't even compete with the guys we were designed to beat. They build right. the team every year to go beat Baltimore. And Baltimore kicked their teeth in. That's something that the Steelers took personally. I think that's a big driving force this offseason to make these moves and how urgent they are. And so I think not coming out with a playoff win would be a huge disappointment for them this year.
If they do win a playoff game this year, Nick, and they end up with a draft pick right around 24, 25, 26, do you think that they would still be aggressive to try to trade into the top 10? Do you think Omar Khan would have that on the top of his priority list, and what would it take?
Yeah, I mean, I think they would absolutely still trade to the top 10 if they can get up there. I look at Kansas City. Kansas City went from 27 to 10 to get Patrick Mahomes the 1 year they were really good. The Steelers, I think, would absolutely go way up in the draft. And listen, if they have to go that far, Austin, I hope you're ready to part ways with your 2027 first. I hope you are, because that's what it's going to take. Really, if you're trading into the top 10, that's what it's going to cost. You're 26 first, you're 27 first, two day two picks. I mean, probably one in 26 and maybe one in 27 or two in 26, depending on how many thirds they have. That's a big thing. I think people look at the accumulation of comp picks and just picks in general in 26 and think, oh, that's for a trade. It's just as much for a trade as it is for actually being able mm-hmm. to have the draft capital after a trade to go out and draft your needs still. So there's flexibility with it so you can make the move. So it would be very expensive, but it would at least cost them two first-round picks. I think that's
And if you get the right guy, it would be perfect, right? That's you're willing to sacrifice all that to get the next quarterback because you do not want to go through this cycle every single year of trying to figure out who's your quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, they have to take a swing at some point, right? They've eluded it. They didn't do it last year. They didn't like the 25 class. 26 class right now around NFL circles is viewed much higher than that 25 class. It feels like there's going to be three, four, maybe even five first-round quarterbacks this year that you can get some of these guys that hit. And so you got to go up and get the guy you believe in, Pomp. I mean, at some point, you got to make that move. And so, yeah, you're willing to trade all of that because if you lay the quarterback, who cares if you don't have a first-round pick next year?
Right.
At that point, you got the guy.
But you better hit on the guy because yes. if you don't, then there are more problems. Nick, this has been fun. Thanks very much. We do appreciate the time, and we'll see you up at training camp.
Yeah, see you guys up at training camp. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Thanks,
all right. Nick Faribault from Penn Live does a great job covering the Steelers. Very articulate about these topics, and we'll hit up Nick over the next coming weeks as well as we get closer and closer to training and St. Vincent College in Latrobe. Can you believe it's here already? It seems like football season, again, is designed now to be year-round.
Yeah.
You always look for a little bit of a break. And for maybe players and coaches right now, this is the month for a break as they get a few weeks where there's nothing, or at least should be nothing going on. Although you don't know about Omar Khan, what he's working on back there. Who knows? But, I mean, this is it's a dead time. But even in dead times, we end up talking about it almost all year.
Well, because the Jalen Ramsey, Jonnu Smith, Minka trade ended up making it where
nobody saw that coming.
No.
Not one person saw that coming.
Not at all. And it ends up taking 2 weeks to just fully digest it.
Yeah, it was incredible. And
just like how we digested our Tim's Corner Market subs, Bob. Very good.
That's they're out there. I see them.
And you got to go get one. I
called your name.
One.
You already had one. You're way ahead of me.
I had a bacon sandwich. Yeah,
I bet you all the bacon's gone.
I bet possibility.
You. Yeah, I love bacon. I would eat my shoe if you wrapped it in bacon. I would. Just put a little dressing on that thing. I'll eat it.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Escape the heat to True North Convenience Stores and get any size True Oasis Fountain Drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi Fountain Drinks for 89 cents.
As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.